or later. We need to turn in our Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 6, where we're going to learn another great truth, another transforming truth. It would be easy to say, well, this transforming truth sounds more like a warning or of sorts. And I suppose you could view it that way, but the way it would transform you is if you understand what it's teaching. Then we would alter our lifestyle or our living to make sure we get the desired results, and therefore it would transform us. So it could have the power to transform our behavior, if you please. So Galatians chapter 6, today we're talking about the law of the harvest. When I began studying the lesson, I knew what Galatians 6 was talking about. I remember we had a similar lesson. It was on the law of the harvest, not that title, but it was about this law in a previous series. Now, I can't remember what that series was, but it was definitely in this last year somewhere along the line. But you can't go wrong reviewing important Bible principles. Amen. So chapter 6, Galatians, let's look at verses 7 through 9 together. I'll read those for you. You follow along. Be not deceived. Great warning there. First words out of the gate. Hey, don't be deceived. Well, be deceived about what? Here we go. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray and we'll come back to the lesson here. Thank you, Lord, for our time this morning in Sunday school. We always look forward to opening the Word of God and seeing what you have to teach us. And so we pray, as always, that you would be the supreme teacher today and help us, enlighten our minds, show us what you have for us, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, all of these truths each week could very well be transforming if we allow them to. And so we need to assimilate them into our living. Help us now, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it would be right to say that in these verses we could see that the Apostle Paul was using some agricultural lingo, if you please, talking about sowing and reaping. And he said, look, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And we know that's true in the agriculture world. If we plant corn, what are we going to get coming out of the ground? Corn. It's impossible to plant corn and get beans. And So this is what we're going to use that image in throughout the lesson today as we think about gardens, maybe, but more importantly, how it plays out in our lives. So our transforming truth today in these verses gives us a law. Very important that we view it that way. This is a spiritual law. Well, what is the spiritual law? It's what you sow, you will reap. That's a biblical or a spiritual law. It means it's definitely going to happen. And let's start out with this statement here. While the laws of science have a few exceptions, biblical laws do not. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, whatever God says, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. When God says that you will reap what you sow, that is without fail. There's no exception. It is a spiritual or a biblical law of the universe that God has put into place. In other words, in science, we have the law of gravity. We could name many others, but sometimes there's exceptions to those laws, like we can defy the law of gravity if we get enough thrust and lift and all that sort of thing. We can overcome gravity. But in God's world, these biblical / spiritual laws, there are no exceptions. You reap what you sow. Going back to the garden, there's no way that we can violate this law if we plant corn and fully expect to have squash or cucumbers or something. It's just not going to happen. It is not going to happen. And so these laws are without exception. Also, well, according to our text verse, we will, notice I emphasize the word will there. Brother Cole, would you mind getting my wife a sheet, please? Thank you. We will reap what we sow. And the emphasis is on the word will there. And then one more thing as way of introduction. So this law can be extremely exciting because it gives us confidence that we will see fruit for our labor if we faint not. That's the exciting thing about it. Since this is a spiritual law, and since it cannot fail, then great. I can know that my labor for the Lord is not in vain, and I must not faint. I must keep at it. But I know that the Lord will allow me to reap all the good that I have sown. Consequently, on the flip side of that, and I didn't put this as a point for you, but let me read it to you. We can choose what seeds to sow. We can sow good seeds and reap a harvest, or, this is the opposite of this last statement, or we can sow bad seed or wicked seeds and reap the consequences. So this works two ways. We reap what we sow. We can sow good seed and reap blessings, or we can sow bad seed and reap some negative consequences. So with that in mind, let's look at three things that we can learn from this law, the spiritual law, you reap what you sow. Number one, you reap what you sow. We've said that already. And again, it's if we think about gardening, you know, I remember back in Indiana, we had quite a garden, my wife and I and Caleb. We had in the yard area, we had quite a flower garden with different plants, sunflowers and such. And then in the back of there was a cottage out back. We had our house, then in the back there was a little cottage, and then behind that was another plot of land that we had a vegetable garden. When I planted, let's see, what do we have back there? Corn, zucchini, cucumbers, celery, green onions maybe, tomatoes. But, you know, when I put, I'll just use corn, that seems to come to mind for whatever reason. When I put corn and planted the corn in those rows, Brother Joe, I can tell you, I was never surprised when corn came up. Right? Why? Because of this law. I was never saying, oh my goodness, look, I planted corn. I was expecting something else. Or no, I was never surprised. It's because of this law. We reap exactly what we sow. And so there's no surprises. So based on that idea, we must understand then that our words, our thoughts, our action, we must view them or see them as seeds. We must see our thoughts and our words and our action as seeds. Furthermore, we must realize that we are sowing seeds every moment of every day. And I have to confess, I sometimes overlook that thought right there. When we wake up in the morning, I think this is later in the lesson, I'll say it now, and I'll say it again later, but when we wake up in the morning, your flesh, my flesh, says, I'm ready to sow some seeds in the garden of this life. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit's saying, I too am ready to sow some seeds in this life today. And we go through life with a battle each and every day, the old man versus the new man. And we'll talk more about that here in a second, but we must understand that all day long, from the moment we wake up, we're sowing seeds. It's the things we think, it's the things we say, it's the actions that we do. If they're good, we're going to reap blessing. If they're bad, we're going to reap consequence. And we have to understand that this is a very important truth. Realize that we're sowing seeds every moment of every day. So every thought you think plays a role in molding your character, and it is a seed that is sown and it will soon mature. We have to understand that. Really, all seeds must go through the test of Philippians 4:8. So hold your place there. Let's look at that. I know that most of you would know this verse probably by heart, but let's take a peek at it here because this is the filter. A few weeks ago, we talked about filtering our thoughts. I think it was in this very series. Philippians 4, so just a few pages over from where you are, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's that last phrase? Think on these things. What things? Well, the things he just listed. True and honest and just and pure and so on. So really our thoughts, all of our thoughts need to pass through the filter of Philippians 4:8, and that will help us to make sure that we're sowing good seed, if you please. Not only should your thoughts be viewed as seeds, but guess what? Our words. Because our point says our words, our thoughts, our actions. So our words as well. Do you realize how much power your words have? That's something we must remind ourselves as well. Our words have the power to build. They have the power to destroy. And let's look at another passage here, another familiar passage, not far from where you're at. Hold your place again. Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, right after Hebrews. Probably the most powerful passages on the tongue, words or lips, whatever, is here in James. There's other places. Proverbs has a lot to say about it. We can't take the time to turn to a lot of verses, but I do want to see this one. James 3, beginning in verse 4. He uses an illustration of a ship here. He says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So the man behind the wheel of the ship, that huge ship can be driven by wind, strong wind, but he's saying, you know what? The governor or the captain of the ship can turn the wheel, which operates a little thing in the back, he called it a helm, or we might say a rudder. That thing is so small, turns it back and forth and can direct the ship just by turning that small device, if you will. But look what he says next in verse 5. "Even so," or just like that, "the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And so that we must understand that, yes, our thoughts, we must sow good thoughts, but our words also can be harmful. And we see that here in this passage. As I said, we can tear down or build up with our words. And then finally, our actions are an obvious seed that we must plant and be careful about. I won't have you turn to this, and let me just read it for you. If you want to write the reference down, it's Proverbs 15:1, I believe it is. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." That's a familiar passage. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. They see our actions, or he sees our actions. And so he knows our good seed, our bad seed when it comes to actions. I came across this quote here. It's by Stephen Covey. And I'm sorry to make you write so many blanks here, but if I put part of the blank in, you would know the next part, so I had to leave them all blank. So there's so many here, but think about what this is saying. "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." Wow. And so I guess we could shorten the whole thing by saying, sow a thought, reap a destiny. It all begins in our thoughts. So I'll give you a chance to get all those blanks in there, but that's a powerful statement. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So based on that, because of that, we should all pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us as we sow seeds every moment of every day to make sure they pass through Philippians 4:8, but make sure we're sowing good seed. Let's go to letter B here. The next thing, we should see God's sovereignty bring to pass man's choices. So we have to view our words, our thoughts. I probably should have had that turned around. Our thoughts, words, actions. That's the order it should have been, probably. Our words, our thoughts, our words, our actions as seeds, but also God's sovereignty will bring to pass our choices. If this is a law, well, who is the one administering the law? Who is enforcing it? Well, it's God. Amen. It's His sovereignty that works in natural kingdom. As we said, if we put in beans, we're going to get beans out. If we put in corn, we're going to get corn out. So based on that, the same God, that should be, who is sovereign over our garden, is the same God who is sovereign over our choices. In other words, if we sow wrong seeds, we'll reap weeds. If we sow godly seeds, we will reap abundant fruit. And that's what we should want. As always, man purposes his way, but it's God. He's the one who disposes the results as he sees fit. And so we must understand that God is sovereign, and this law will never fail, and whatever seed we sow, he's going to bring it to pass, you know, the choices that we've made. Here's another proverb you might jot down, 16 verse 9, Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And so we must realize that God will bring the choices to pass. Then let her see. Let's keep moving here. We must see the conflict. I mentioned earlier about this conflict that takes place on a daily basis. The conflict over the garden of our heart. And it's simply this. In the garden of your heart, you do not have room for good and bad seeds. Your old nature and your new nature are both fighting over who will plant in the garden. And that's, I mentioned earlier, I was saying it ahead of time, that I think this is the place that there's this war going on. Look at chapter 5 here in our passage. I mean, in the chapter we're on here, or in the book we're in, Galatians 5, look at verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. That means this. Look here. They're contrary, like that. The old flesh, the new nature, contrary one to the other. And then it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so there's this battle going on. There's no room for good and bad seed. The old nature wants to plant. The new nature wants to plant. And that verse tells us a little bit about that. Every day of your life, this is what I said earlier, the flesh wakes up and says, I've got stuff I want to plant in the garden. But the spirit also says, I have seeds to plant in the garden. So every day of your life, there is a battle. To whom you surrender your garden is the key to whether your life is successful or not. We must yield or surrender to that new nature who wants to plant the good seed, and that will help us to have success. I'll read this passage to you, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so that's so very important. Let's go to number two here. So we reap what we sow. That's a law. Also part of the law is this. You reap later than you sow. So Brother Becker is a skilled gardener. Brother Becker, if you plant corn today, you're going to go out tomorrow and pick it?
Nope.
No way. That harvest or that reaping comes later than when you sowed, right? And so we must understand that's part of this law. While you always reap what you sow, you will usually have to wait to see the harvest. And so based on that thought, let's look at these two or three things here. Do not be deceived by delayed judgment. Okay, it's easy to get deceived, to say, oh, you know, people say, well, I've been doing this sin for X amount of days, months, years. Seemingly I'm getting away with it. God's not done anything yet. Yet is the key word there. Because God's law always comes true. His law, this law doesn't fail. You will reap what you sow. I always find it comical when people say, I don't know why that person is so critical of me. Really? It's because you've been critical of other people. You're just reaping what you've sown. And so it always comes to pass. But that's the promise of the reaping. But here we're talking about this delayed judgment. I don't think we have time to turn here. Let's do it. Ecclesiastes 8. Let's try to do this. Ecclesiastes 8 is the Old Testament parallel to Galatians 6, this law we're talking about. So let's try to look at this quickly. So right after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 10. We'll read through 13. Chapter 8, verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Watch verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, oh, nothing's happening because I'm doing this wrong thing. I guess I'll do some more. And that's the foolishness there. Then verse 12 now. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it will be well with them that fear God and which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. And so in that passage, we can certainly see the idea of reaping or sowing and reaping. We see this idea about delayed judgment. It makes it clear that wicked men do not escape their punishment. God sees that it comes to pass. Whoa. God is not mocked. So those guys in chapter 8, they're Ecclesiastes, they were mocking God. Though they sin 100 times and seemingly they're prospering. No. God will make sure that it's rewarded. God is not mocked. He will allow consequences to come to those who reap wrong actions. However, those consequences may not come immediately, but they will come. Just like I can't plant corn today and go out and pick it tomorrow, that's a positive thing. I mean, corn, you know. But just like that, I may do something evil today, and tomorrow I won't see the consequence, but I will. It will catch up with you. And so that's the important thing to understand at this point here. It doesn't come immediately, but they will come. We mustn't allow ourselves to think that we can get away with sin. You cannot hide from a sovereign God of the universe who is not mocked. God will not be mocked. Letter B. So don't be deceived by delayed judgment. Next. Do not be discouraged by present barrenness. So this is the flip side. The first part is more of, on the negative side, about sowing bad seed. This one's about sowing good seed. So we're doing good, we're doing things that are proper and right, but it's easy to become discouraged by the barrenness, or we're not seeing results, perhaps. Just as God will surely allow the consequences of wrong actions, He will also make sure you reap the blessings of right actions. So this is the flip side. This is the side we ought to really concentrate on. We ought to be sowing good seed all the time and looking for the blessings that will come because of that, even though we may not see them immediately. Whatever it is that you are doing for the Lord, whether or not anyone knows about it, here's the important part. God sees you. He sees you. And He will reward you for what you're doing. He sees you, and His heart is blessed by seeing His servants walk with Him. And if you're serving the Lord, you feel like, boy, my service just doesn't seem to be making a difference. Well, listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. So just turn back a little tiny bit. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 58, which I believe is the last verse of the chapter. Yes, it is. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so there's no way that what you're doing for God would be in vain. The Lord makes sure to be, He will make sure that you're blessed, you receive the blessings of your work. It may not be immediately, but it will come. Thirdly, do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. Do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. There's not a lot I'm going to say here. I have a quote that I'm going to give you, but it's just this. What a tragedy to miss out on the good that God would have for you just because you sold out for an immediate pleasure and didn't hang out and wait for the blessing. The quote is this. It's by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Preacher would probably fill in the blanks already because it's a famous saying. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. In other words, you give up on something that would be permanent because you want immediate gratification, and therefore you forfeit that permanent blessing. And so that's a very important principle that goes along with this. Do not be distracted by immediate pleasures. In other words, I can plant that corn and I might want immediate gratification. Well, that's the case, I better go down to the store and buy some corn on the cob, and while I'm waiting, I have to wait. There's certain things that just require waiting. And we could talk about marriage and things like that, but there are young'uns in the room, so we'll just leave it at that, but you know what I mean. And so we must be willing to wait for the blessings. All right, let's go to number three here. So what we've learned so far, we reap what we sow. We plant corn, we're going to get corn. If I sow criticism, I'll probably get criticized. If I sow kindness, others will be kind to me. I will reap what I sow. We reap later. Sometimes we have to wait for what we've sown. And that's both good or bad. I mean, don't be deceived by delayed judgment. We looked at that point, but it will come. Letter three, number three, you reap more than you sow. I like this one. You know, when we plant that corn, I'll put two or three or four kernels in the ground, but guess what? I might get several ears of corn, full ears, on the stalk of corn that comes up out of there. And so we always get more than we sow, and that's a blessing. The garden of your heart is vast. It has plenty of room for fruit to grow. And so as we faithfully plant seeds, we may be surprised how much we ultimately will reap one day. And I know one thing, when we get to heaven, we'll certainly do some reaping for the good that we've done here or for the mission areas we've supported or such. But that'll be a blessed time. So letter A, because of this, because we can reap more, then there's some things that go along with that, like this. We should take advantage of every opportunity to plant good seeds. I think that's self-explanatory. Because I'm going to reap more than I've sown, then guess what? I need to take every opportunity to sow good seed. And that just makes sense. One of the greatest examples of someone that did this was Ruth in the Bible. And we don't have time to turn there and look at it, but If you study the life of Ruth, you will see that she went through several trials. She could have become bitter at God for taking her husband away and allowing pain to come in her life. However, she was a woman constantly choosing the higher road. She did not have to leave her home to enter an unfamiliar land, but she did. She went to work in this new land, and as a result of her hard work, the Lord directed her to a man named Boaz. And the Lord beautifully orchestrated Ruth and Boaz's lives together and ultimately used them in the line of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in spite of the trials, in spite of the discomfort, in spite of the fears that Ruth experienced, she continued to sow good seed. And here's the neat thing about that. She's still reaping today. Why? Because we're saved. We're saved because of those seeds. The lineage of Christ goes back through Ruth and Boaz, and that's an exciting thing. Pretty amazing thought, really. So she was a good example of that. Letter B. Because we reap more than we sow, not only should we take every opportunity to plant the good seeds, but also we must imagine the consequences of every seed. I think I said it in the introduction, if we just understand and think about this principle, Galatians 6, 7 through 9, how could it transform our lives? Well, it's going to make us stop and think before we open our mouth. And it could transform us in that way, because my thoughts, my words, my actions are all seeds, and I will reap what I sow. And so based on that, I think to myself, well, I don't want to sow the bad things, and so it's going to help me, it's going to transform me if I allow it. But thinking about the consequences, and this is a little bit on the negative side, I guess, but let me give the thought here first. Think before you act. I said that here a moment ago. Think before you act, meaning this: in a heated argument with a family member, consider the consequences of your own selfishness. In a frustrating exchange with a friend, consider the consequences of a damaged relationship. Even if you are right, is it worth losing your companionship with that person? Choose your words carefully, remembering that you reap more than what you sow. And so a very important principle here. I must think about, imagine the consequences of every seed. Do we do that? Hardly. Unfortunately, but that's what we should do. Before I say what I think I want to say, what could the consequences be? And that could help us tremendously if we would follow through with that. Letter C. Could say more about that, but we need to move on. Because we reap more, well, we should take every opportunity to sow good seed. We should imagine the consequences, really, of, it says every seed, but really of every bad seed. What's going to be the consequence if I think, say this, that would be the right order. And then, do not quit on any seed that is good. Do not quit. As you sow the seeds that God has asked you to sow, don't quit. Don't give up. I'll give you this statement here. As you faithfully plant or sow good seeds in your life, remember the promise of our text verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Watch now. For in due season, when the time is right, we what? Shall reap if we faint not. When the time is right. You know, we plant that corn in May. When the time is right, probably, what, around August or something, we'll go out there and reap and enjoy. But that's a promise. That's a spiritual law. This biblical truth. It's a spiritual law. We will reap what we sow. And we ought to try to... there's a warning there, like the negative parts. We've touched on the negatives throughout, but I like to focus on the positive. You know, what if we do the good things? Say the good things. Think the good thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Do the good works. Serve the Lord. And then faithfully and patiently wait for the blessings that God has promised. That ought to be the exciting part of this transforming truth and how we could live it in a positive way. Well, let's come to the conclusion here. It really boils down to this. Every moment of every day, we must be cognizant of the types, good or bad, good seed, bad seed, the types of seeds we are sowing. If you sow good seed, what we've learned here, we'll reap blessings, guaranteed. Might not be tomorrow, might not be next week. Guess what? It might not be in this lifetime. It might be in your children's lives. Or you may see it in heaven. If we sow bad seed, there are consequences. And the God of you, the sovereign God of the universe, will make sure that the consequences come based on our choices. So we must be aware, cognizant of what type of seed we're sowing. Amen. All righty.